In Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and his feet, saying, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider this phrase, where are the 9? Before we get into the lesson, again, I want to welcome everyone. It is so good to be here today. It's good to have everyone out. We have so much to be thankful for. And last week, I said I was going to do a pre-Thanksgiving sermon, and I did that on Psalm 30. He was lifted up, and I said that today I was planning on doing a post-Thanksgiving sermon. And I know nobody here would be this way, but I know at some places somebody would say, oh no, two sermons in a row on Thanksgiving? That's too much. We can never give enough thanks. And last week, when we looked at Psalm 30, and talking about David was lifted up, we saw that he was lifted up from the power of his enemies. He was lifted up from all his diseases, from the place of death, from going down to the pit, from weakness and failure, from sorrow and sadness, from praiseless silence. We saw how God lifted him up from all of those things. God lifts us up from those same things, and because of that, we should give him thanks. So this morning, we are going to look at, but where are the 9? Let me look and read that. A few more of the verses. We'll start up at verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith hath made you well." As I was mentioning earlier, this section of Luke is one of the accounts where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. This shows one of the possible routes that he may have gone on his way here. Luke's account of the life of Christ, he is the one that contains this account of the 10 lepers. And it's noted, too, that while they were on their way to Jerusalem, their attention was diverted by the cry of these 10 lepers who stood afar off. But when they had lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lepers were considered unclean by law. They were not allowed to enter villages or towns. They were often found near the gates, begging the travelers who passed by, Leviticus chapter 13, Numbers chapter 5. So there were 10 lepers at the gates of this village as Jesus entered, and they stood afar off. And you stop, and there are just so many things that come to my mind as I read this, how we are unclean by sin, and we cannot be close to Christ, because our sin separates us from Christ, our sin separates us from God. And under the old law with leprosy, they could not be close to people because their disease separated them from other people. They stood far off from the highway. Again, this was part of the old law. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache, and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Numbers 5 and verse 2. Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. And 2 Kings 15:5. Then the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. So he dwelt in an isolated house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal house, judging the people of the land. So this disease that affected the body, where basically the body would just keep rotting and rotting until they died, and they were to be separated. They were to be isolated. But these lepers, when they see Christ approaching, they lift up their voice. They speak out loud enough to shout to those that were passing by. And as I mentioned earlier and mentioned a few verses, a lot of times they would ask for alms. They would ask for money. But when they see Christ come, they don't ask him for money. They cried out for mercy. They wanted help. They were not asking for mercy. They were saying, Lord, have mercy on us. And they asked Jesus to take pity on them, which included healing them. Have mercy on us. And we should not wonder about this, that they asked Jesus of this, because he had a reputation for healing people. Luke records back in chapter 7, beginning at verse 18, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, and this is John the Baptist sending his disciples to Christ, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one coming, or do we look for another? And at that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus had a reputation for healing all manner of diseases. And this leprosy was incurable. And some forms of it are still incurable today. And there are still leper colonies in some areas because of this hideous disease. Back in 17 and verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now think about this. We're not told how far they had gone, but at some point they were healed on the way. And it's interesting too, a lot of times we think of Jesus healing people instantaneously. The second he says something, it is done. And I just have to wonder with this, again, as Luke is pointing out that this one that came back was a Samaritan, if that played into the fact that when Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest, they had to have some faith and act on what they were doing. So that's one part of the account. But the bigger part of the story is the reaction of this Samaritan when he was healed, because he gave thanks to God. He glorified God. He made a loud, open expression of praise to God. He fell on his face. He fell at the feet of Jesus. And remember, the Samaritans and Jews didn't have any dealings with each other. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be as dogs. Yet this Samaritan came or cried to Jesus to be healed, to have mercy. And he is not hesitant at all to give him glory. Jesus, he responds to their cry of mercy, saying, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, they would have had to have showed themselves to the priest earlier to be confirmed that they were a leper. That was part of the law. It was part of the law. Leviticus 13 and 14 instructed them on what to look for and what to do in different circumstances. We talk about quarantining today. The lepers had to quarantine themselves 7 days to see what developed with reference to a rash or a scab. And again, in severe cases, the leper was to live outside the camp or the city, and they were to remain there as long as they were unclean. But Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, why? You think about this. When he says this, they aren't healed at that instant, but he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And only 1 out of 10 that received this blessing was giving thanks. Were there none found that returned? In verse 18 and 19, this verse continues the thought of the preceding verse. Some thought that the Samaritan returned because he was not permitted to go to the priest, since the Samaritans and the Jews could not have dealings with each other. Jesus receives no answer to his question. He answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Then he says in verse 18, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And again, who do we expect to give glory to God? His children. And so many times we do not. Who would we expect, as we were looking at in Bible study, to go to listen to Jesus, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people? But they didn't go, or if they went, it was just to find fault with him. It was the sinners, it was the people in need, the people in need that went to Jesus. And friends, we all have a need. We have all sinned. We all need to go to Jesus. And the Samaritan who had been cleansed, we see in his nature that he was humble. He was grateful. He was full of faith. And it was according to his faith that he was made whole. And notice, he's telling again the lepers to go show themselves to the priest. What purpose is that going to provide at this point? It would confirm that they had been healed of this disease. They had to go to the priest to be diagnosed, and now Jesus is going them to go back. And it was a manifestation of their faith. And they could have questioned, "Why should I go back to the priest? I'm still a leper." But Luke writes, "And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed." Sometimes when God tells us to do something, we've got to just get up and start doing it. We want things to happen right now. When God tells us to do something, we need to start doing it, and what we expect may not happen till down here. But we can't get discouraged. We can't give up. We got to keep pressing on. We've got to keep marching, doing what God wants us to do. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This seems to imply that maybe the others were Jews. Again, Jesus answered, "Were not the 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there none that found that returned to give glory to God save the stranger? Could these have been the same 9 lepers that were a moment ago crying for mercy to be healed from the plague of leprosy? You think about this. They're crying out loud, "Have mercy on us, save us." And as they're on their way to the priest, they are healed. And now what? They are silent. They are silent. Would you or would you not have returned? If you were one of those 10 lepers, would you have been the one that went back? Would I have been the one? If I cried out to God to heal me, to save me, do this for me, and he does it, would I just keep marching on my way? Or would I return and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. You saved me. You saved me, Jesus." And with these miracles, we see a pattern in the miracles in Christ's life whenever they're recorded. We see there's a need that's established. Jesus' help is sought. That's why multitudes would come to him. Faith or obedience expressed by those seeking the help. Jesus performs the miracles, and then the characters respond. That's a set pattern when any of the miracles take place. You can just analyze that and see that. So here in this account, the response is appalling. It's unacceptable. We would say it's not cool. There were 10 that were healed, and only one gives thanks. So we learn, again, so many things in the Bible from be's and be nots, from contrast, do this, don't do that. We better learn the lesson. If someone helps us, someone does something for us, we need to be thankful. When God does something for us, we need to be like this leper. We need to get down on our knees. We need to get down on our face. We need to glorify God and thank him. And you see different things come to mind with this. What did that leper have to offer the Son of God? He had nothing. They would beg for money for whatever they needed and hope that they would get it. He had nothing to offer him, yet the Son of God healed him. What do we have to offer to God? We have nothing. We have nothing. We are sinful creatures. God created us, made us in his image, and then our sin separates us from God. He turned his back on us. And we are told when we have done everything that he tells us to do, we are just unprofitable servants because we are nothing. We are made out of the dust of the earth, and God created everything. But God loved us so much that he healed us. He healed us of our broken life. He healed us of our sin. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. He had the ransom paid to buy us out of bondage, to buy us out of sin. And what was that ransom? It was the most valuable, unimaginably large price that could be paid. It was the precious blood of his Son that was paid for you and paid for me. And this leper recognized the gratitude that he should give to the Son of God. Do we recognize the gratitude that we should give to God? And has God done anything for us? You know, I feel uncomfortable even asking that question. Has he answered our prayer? Every one of us here can go over prayer and prayer that God has answered for us. Has he cared for our daily needs? You know, I struggle with worry sometimes and think, what's going to happen in this and that? And so many times I just have to remind myself, and this helps me, God has taken care of me every day of my life from the day that I was born.
he's taking care of me today, I should have enough faith that he's going to take care of me tomorrow. Friends, God is going to care for our daily needs. Do we give him thanks? God, has God delivered you from evil? Has he brought someone into your life to teach you the truth so that you can escape the snare of the devil? He has. We need to give God thanks. Has he saved us from sin? He has. He provided everything for us. He gave us an explanation of what we need to do. He knew that we could not be the perfect sacrifice, so he sent his son. He made all things ready. But these 10 lepers, 9 of them just kept going on their way. And it's interesting, too, when we think about talking back about the parable of the lost coin, and that coin was lost in the house. And being a Christian in the family of God, in the house of God, we take so many things for granted. And we can get lost in the dust and darkness of the house, figuratively speaking. And I see so many Christians, they go to worship out of a sense of duty. And it's good to understand that is our duty. But they go, you hear them say, I got to go. I can't go here. I got to go. I've got to go this day. They've got something special going. I've got to go this day also. Friends, as a Christian, we should not see coming together to be out of a sense, our main motivation out of a sense of duty. We come together out of a heart of thanksgiving. And if we come together out of a heart of thanksgiving, nobody's going to be able to stop us from coming together. But if we look at it as a duty, as an obligation, well, I'm supposed to be there, let me see, in so many minutes. Is that how we look at it? Or do we think, you know, tomorrow's the first day of the week. I've got to start getting ready. Shouldn't say I got to, I want to. Because that is the day we come together to remember that great sacrifice that was paid for us. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Are we part of the 9? Or are we the one that comes back to fall on our face, and fall on our knees and give thanks to God? There's so much that the Bible has to say about thanksgiving. So what's in your heart? What's in my heart? You have to answer for you, but I have to ask myself when I look at these verses, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Do I go around singing out loud or singing with a song in my heart? I hope we all do. And if we're down, that's one of the easiest ways to get up is you can't sing, there's sunshine in my soul. You know, that song that Jim sang. That is a beautiful song. And it's special to me. I've mentioned this because that was one of the songs that was sung at my father's funeral. And a lot of people think that when someone dies, it's a sad time. But we sing that, there's sunshine in my soul. Because as a Christian, when we die, we're going to be carried into paradise. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. What does magnify mean? It can mean several things. It can mean to enlarge. It means to make clearer. Where I sit to read my books, I've got a couple magnifying glasses. So if I need to grab one, I can hold it over the book I'm reading and it makes it clearer. You see, we want to magnify him with thanksgiving. We want to make Christ clearer to others by our thanksgiving, by what's on our lips. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. I just don't understand what some people think they are going to be doing in heaven when they don't enjoy coming together to give praise to God here and giving thanks. And he doesn't say, let us whisper, let us talk joyfully, let us shout joyfully. That's something coming down from our heart. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And this is a good reminder. We should enter not only his gates with thanksgiving, we should enter every day with thanksgiving. God gives us another day to get up and get out of bed. We should give him thanks, enter into his courts with praise. We should be thankful that we are invited to come into his courts, that he is the king that summons us to come in because of that relationship. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Our life is to be a daily sacrifice that we offer up to God. And as we do that, again, we shouldn't grumble and complain and do it out of a sense of duty. It's because of that relationship that we have with him, what he has done for us, and we should be thankful and rejoice. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. We have a song we sing, I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. He created us to praise him. That's our existence here. He created us to worship him and praise him. And he is giving us the opportunity in this short time that we are here on this earth to learn that and understand that. Because that's what we are going to be doing when we get to heaven. When you read in Revelation, the throne scene, that innumerable host is around the throne praising God for everything that he has done. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When we pray to God, we should thank him for the good things and we should thank him for the bad things. The bad things are where we really learn the lessons in life. When things are going good, when we've got money in our pocket, when we've got good health, we've got friends, we don't learn too many lessons. You lose your money, you lose your health, you lose your friends, your family, and you start learning some lessons really quick. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we should let our requests be made known to God. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Even when we pray and God doesn't answer our prayer right away, we should be thankful, knowing that he hears us, knowing that God is going to answer that prayer in the best way, at the best time, and we leave it in God's hands. Where are the nine? Am I one of the nine? Or am I that one, that Samaritan leper? He had the worst of both worlds. He was a Samaritan and he was a leper. Yet God, Christ, looked down on him in mercy and healed him. And he gave the appropriate response to that. He fell on his feet. He fell on his knees. He fell on his face, and he worshiped God. Friends, every Christian, each one of us, should be compelled by thanksgiving that flows from our heart to worship God, to worship him, to study his word, to sing praises to him, to treat our fellow man as we ought to. There's just one question that we need to answer before we leave. Am I the one, or am I part of the nine? Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.